Good evening, everyone. First off, I want to thank Pastor Jimenez for giving me this opportunity to preach tonight and to stand before you. It's a great honor. You're there in Matthew 18. The title of the sermon tonight is about forgiveness, that we should forgive. And it's a great topic because our God is the great forgiver. I'm going to, just by way of interjection, I'm going to blow through some verses and we're going to go back over them, but you don't have to turn to these. I'm just going to go through them. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." You notice in that verse, it says, "Even as Christ forgave you, also do ye." Luke chapter 6, 37, 38 says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And you normally hear this verse. It's talked about, you know, with money, and it does apply. But what God's really trying to teach us here is that we need to learn how to forgive so others will forgive us. See, if you learn how to forgive much, you will be forgiven much. And anyone who's saved here tonight, guess what, my brothers and sisters? You've been forgiven much. Amen. Matthew 6, verse 14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Psalms 86, 5 says that, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plentiness and mercy unto all them that call upon thee." See, God is ready to forgive. And we need to learn to forgive because it's not something that's easy for most of us. No marriage will survive without a great deal of forgiveness. No friendship, no family, no work relationship will survive without forgiveness. No church will survive without forgiveness. See, if you cannot forgive the brothers and sisters in here, how do you expect to go out to the lost and to forgive them when they do things wrong? People you work with, people you interact with, they're going to hurt you. But in here, if anywhere, you should be able to forgive the brethren. Ephesians 4, 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." See, so we are to forgive. But see, how are we to forgive? In Matthew 18, we get a good picture of that. Jesus kind of tells us. So there in Matthew 18, that's our text for tonight. Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. Matthew 18 and verse 21. "Then came Peter and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." So now we have Peter coming to Jesus here, and we love Peter because we can learn a lot from Peter because most of us are like Peter. But Peter, I think he has this forgiveness thing all figured out, because you notice he answered his own question before even Jesus got the answer, and Peter's boasting a little. So Jesus says to him, though, 70 times 7, 490 times. And why does Peter say 7, and why does Jesus say 70 times 7? And when you study the Bible, most will agree that 7 is a number of completion, represents perfection. But you know, I don't think Jesus was even really focusing on that. I'm sure there's a significance to those numbers, but I took from this passage that Jesus is trying to get Peter to understand that basically there's too many times to count, Peter. You need to just forgive. You're not going to go through your life forgiving the brethren and counting every little thing they do and trying to remember it. When you get to that certain number, then, you know, you don't have to forgive them anymore. That's not the case. Jesus goes into a parable of the unforgiving servant. We're going to start there in verse 23. Verse 23 of Matthew 18, it says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take an account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. See, why should we forgive? Point number one tonight, we should forgive because of compassion. Look at verse 27 again. It says, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Psalms 145:8 says, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Psalms 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, plentiful in mercy and truth. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion, one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So you can't read the Bible very long, right? 9 chapters a day, those you took the challenge. It's a great thing. If you were reading through that, you can't go very long without seeing that Jesus had compassion. He went through. He had compassion. That's all he did. He went through. He was going about. Everybody he came in contact, he had compassion with. And if you need a definition, if you're struggling with a definition, compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. You know, that should be us. We should want to have compassion, especially for the brethren, especially for the lost. Keep your spot there in Matthew 18. Like I said, that's our text tonight. If you would, go to Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And compassion's a very important thing for us to develop. And if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not in prayer, guess what? You're never going to develop it. The greatest soul winners I know, they're in their Bible. You know, they pray before they go out. They're doing something. And we're going to get into that, but you're going to develop compassion for the lost and especially for the brethren. You're going to have to do some things. But in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, we have Jesus and a leper coming to him. And it says there in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. You see that? Moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. You're there in Mark 1, flip over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 18. Jesus going about, we have another famous story. For sake of time, I'm not going to read all of it, but it's the story of the demon-possessed man dwelling in the tombs. And at the end, Jesus speaks to him. I want you to catch that here. Mark chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, it says, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him, means allowed him not, but saith unto him, go to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. See, that's what we should be doing. We should be telling others, the Lord has had compassion on us. And since he's had compassion on us, we should be going around telling everybody about that. And then you should have compassion on others. Go back to Matthew 18, if you would. So if we're full of compassion, as our Lord is, we should be ready to forgive somebody. Be ready. I mean, it should be on our lips to forgive somebody. Point number two tonight, we should forgive because we have been forgiven much. Look at verse 27 again of Matthew 18. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. And look at this, forgave him that debt. Later on, he says, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Look at, he forgave him that debt. God is our great example on how to forgive. We know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's our God, the great forgiver. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. See, God is the standard on forgiveness. You're not to use me, and I'm not to use you. I'm not to look to you for that, but we are both to use God as the measuring stick. And it's time for Christians to raise their standards to God's standards of forgiveness. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. See, we're to use God and not man. God is asking in our text tonight in Matthew 18 that we should give what we have received. And what have we received? 70 times 7 forgiveness. Too much to count. I don't know about you, but I've been forgiven a lot by my Lord. Much forgiveness. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our sin and our transgression from us. See, think about this. How can a sinner not forgive another sinner when a perfect God that has no sin forgave us? Think about that. How can a sinner not forgive another sinner? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, look at this, for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, God the Father forgives us because of Jesus. And you ever really sit and think about it, especially if you've been saved for a while? Do you know how much Jesus gave so you and I can be forgiven? You realize what he gave for us? Since forgiveness is a quality that Christ highly admires, I think us as his children, we should show that quality in our lives. How? By putting it into practice. Don't just give it lip service. Show that forgiveness. Show it among the brethren. Because check it out. If people come from the outside and they come in here, if they come into this church and they don't see forgiveness in the church, you realize they're not going to stay. They're going to stay without the church. And anyone who's knocked on someone's door and had a bad experience where they joined a church and someone didn't forgive them, something went wrong, and now they don't come to church. I know that's an excuse. They need to get back into church. But we don't need to be that stumbling block. Don't be that one that won't forgive someone that comes in here. And people watch. You don't think people watch you? You say, well, I don't have a position. I'm not doing it. No, people watch everybody. When they come into a church, they're looking at everybody. Is this a group that I want to assemble with? And we got a good group here. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that it's something that we always want to keep striving for and make sure that we're not being the stumbling block to someone that's coming in here. See, we must walk differently because we are the children of light. We should be different. And let that sink in really deep tonight, that we should be different. We have great power that sits inside of us because of the Holy Ghost. So let's see if the Holy Ghost can break through some of the hard hearts. Because, you know, I don't know everyone here very well, but I know there's someone out there that struggles with forgiveness. There's someone out there that's hardened to it, and it doesn't matter what I say or what God says to them. They're like, I'm not going to forgive. But see, think about this. You want to explain to me that how God Almighty, creator of the universe, can forgive people that you will not? I mean, sometimes I think we think too highly of ourselves, like we arrived or something. But you say they hurt me. And I go, well, have you never hurt anybody? See, we all hurt Jesus. Our sin put him on the cross. You're not the issue. Jesus is the issue. His church is the issue. The winning and the loss is the issue. And point number three tonight, we should forgive others. We should forgive because it's what's best for others. It's what's best for them. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Yes, it's what's best for others. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. So that contrarywise, ye ought to rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. See that last part? Overmuch sorrow. What's God saying here? That you should forgive so someone is not swallowed up with much sorrow. I mean, God is telling us to forgive so that person's life is not overtaken with sorrow, that they say stay down in their spirit and they'll never do anything for God again. You ought to forgive for their sake. You ever heard this saying? It says, do what's best for the other guy. I mean, is that too big for Christians to do? To do what's best for the other guy? See, let me ask you, why don't you forgive someone? Why? They hurt me. See, that's your favorite word, me. See, that's really what it's all about. It's all about you. See, well, we get this idea, we kind of get this idea, it's good if we don't forgive somebody. But see, not really. I mean, how's that been working out for you, those that have not forgiven somebody. See, if you do something wrong to me, I'm going to forgive you. Because you and I have learned, if I don't forgive you, I'm going to be as miserable as you. And the best thing for me to do is to forgive you, because it helps me, and eventually it's going to help you to get over whatever our disagreement is. To do what's best for the other guy, you're going to have to be spiritual. It's going to take spirit. You can't do it in your flesh. And that's why I think most of us struggle with it so much. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, if you would. Chapter 6. Yeah, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. Just because you got saved, your sin nature is still there. That old man's still there. You're going to have to get into the spirit to be able to forgive someone the way that God forgives. The way that God forgives. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. See, but don't think that things are never going to happen to you where you're going to want forgiveness. You're going to want that forgiveness. See, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. But look at that. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, you're going to have to be spiritual. You're going to have to be more spiritual than the person that needs forgiving. You want to show me, you want to show others that you're spiritual? Forgive. Forgive. See, God forgives us because of what he is, not because of what we are. We ought to thank God for that. I mean, I need to forgive because of what's inside of me, and you need to forgive what's inside of you, not because of the value or the quality of the person that needs to be forgiven. The Holy Ghost has the ability to forgive. See, God forgives because he's love. God forgives because he's pure. God forgives because he's spiritual. You don't forgive because they're spiritual. You forgive because you're spiritual. We are not to forgive because they love us. We're to forgive because we love them. You forgive because you're close to God, not because they're close to God. We are to forgive because of what we are, and it's best for them if we do. Turn to Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Because when we got saved, and you hear it preached a lot, and I love it, when you got saved, you're to work. That's God's desire for you. He just didn't save you to leave you here. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship. Look, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, we were created to work for him after we were saved, and so were others, your brothers and sisters in Christ, the same. And see, you know, we weren't just saved, so we didn't go to hell. And a lot of people get that, and that's great. I'm glad we're going to miss hell. But there's more to the Christian life than that. And a lot of Christians don't like this, but everything in your life should be gearing you to serve God. All your actions, I've been loving the Sunday morning sermons, about just getting me thinking, what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my life? Is it geared to what God's ultimate agenda is, building his kingdom, saving souls? Do your actions line up with that? Well, if you're a forgiver, your actions are going to line up with that. You're not given this new life to do with what you want with it. You're supposed to live for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Which are God's. They don't belong to you anymore. When God found most of us, and if you're like me, I got saved later. When God found me, I was pathetic. I was useless to God. God could not use me. We were vain. I was vain, had no value. But see, God's a God of second chances. And see, as we live, don't think just after you got saved, though. After you get saved, God continues to forgive us so that he can continue to use us. Because you know that you still sin, right? We still sin. I mean, yes, staying in the Bible, staying around the things of God, praying, it helps you to be sinless. You sin less, but you're going to always have the sin nature. Right? So, we should forgive one another because it should be our desire. It should be our desire that a person could be used again by God. Turn to Matthew 26, if you would. I'm going to read for you Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We should want people to serve God. And we're going to a passage now with Peter again. A famous passage of where Peter denies Christ thrice or three times. Matthew 26, starting in verse 69. Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him, they stood that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which saith unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. See, Peter messed up here. Peter denied the Lord. And we know that Jesus actually told him he was going to do it. And that's where Peter, thinking maybe a little too highly of himself, failed. And see, when he failed, look at that last part of verse 75. It says, and he went out and wept bitterly. See, Peter was consumed with sorrow at this point. And turn to John chapter 21. Go to John chapter 21. Peter was consumed with much sorrow. Where basically we have in John chapter 21, the Lord has to go back to him to restore him, to get Peter back on track. And we're talking about Peter. I mean, Peter was the man. I mean, he was the leader of the apostles, right? But look, he gets backslidden here, and he drags some of them with him. Look at John chapter 21, verse 15. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. See, why did the Lord come to Peter here? He came to forgive him, let Peter know it was all right, to restore him, to get him back to the work. Because after that, Peter left. Peter went back to fishing for fish when he was supposed to be fishing for men. And the Lord had to come back to him and forgive him. Why? Because God had a plan for Peter. He had a plan for him to preach and to teach and to be a leader. And we see that in the book of Acts. Peter shines in the book of Acts. Once he's been restored, once he's been forgiven by the Lord, Peter gets busy and gets after it. If Jesus did not forgive him, though, Peter would have been swallowed up over much sorrow. He would have been swallowed up over much sorrow, and he might have not ever came back. So we need to forgive people, forgive the brethren, so people can get going again for God if they wronged us. See, your lack of forgiveness, think about this, your lack of forgiveness might keep someone from getting back, getting right with God, getting back in the church. If you won't forgive them and they leave here, they go, or they might go to some watered-down church and not do anything, don't be that person. This tonight, that's why I'm preaching on this, we need to learn to do that. I struggle with it. I'm sure everyone struggles with it. You need to generally forgive the brethren. Just be ready to forgive them. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Go back to Matthew chapter 18, back to our parable, verse 28. Matthew 18, verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And look at this, he would not, but went and cast him in the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So point number four, last point. Point number four, sometimes we just have to forgive. I know this is going to be deep. Because God says so. God says so. His word tells us to forgive. And if you struggle with it, when you get to that point, you say, because God says so. Look at the verse. Verses 34 and 35 again, it says, And his Lord was wroth, delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye, look, from your hearts, forgive not everyone his brother. His brother. Forgive the brethren. See, sometimes I just got to forgive because God says so. You got to forgive because God says so. If you ask me, do I always like to forgive? I'll say no. There's times I don't want to do it, but you know, I'm a little like you. Again, in the flesh, but in the spirit, we got to be able to do it. Because in the flesh, I'm going to say, I'm so hurt, I'm so mad, so backslidden in heart, but I'm going to forgive. Why? Because God tells me to. Because God said so. We must do what the book says. You're going to be a Baptist, you got to do what the book says. We must have faith in what? That God knows best. God tells us to forgive. He knows best. Point number one, we should forgive because of compassion. Point number two, we should forgive because we've been forgiven much. Point number three, we should forgive because it's what's best for others. Point number four, we should forgive because God says so. See, God has forgiven us more than we'll ever have to forgive anybody else. I mean, I've heard people say this. You ever heard people say this? I'll never forgive them. Never. I mean, I hear people at work say all the time, I'll forgive my spouse for anything unless they cheat on me. Unless they cheat on me. And don't get me wrong, adultery is a wicked sin. I mean, Job calls it a heinous crime. It's worthy of death. But doesn't adultery also fall under your wedding vows, those of you who are married, for the worst? We like the better, but what about the worst? When the worst comes, we don't like that. It's going to take a lot of forgiveness to get through something like that. But say, I'm glad God doesn't deal with you and I like that. God doesn't do that. Because let me tell you something. No one has done as much wrong to you or me as we've done to God. I mean, think about it. Did someone spit in your face? Or did someone nail you to a cross? Did you have to go to hell for somebody? I mean, Jesus, who did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. The sinless one. We caused the pain. When he's on the cross, we caused it. We caused the pain. Our sins put him on the cross. But he forgave us, knowing that we would hurt him again. Luke 23, 34 says, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, Romans 5, 8. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet, God already knew, as soon as I save you, you're going to sin again. But you know what? I'm going to forgive you anyways. See, we should be willing to forgive like that. Like that. And look at this verse. Go back to, I don't know where you're at. Go back to Matthew 18, if you're not there. Look at Matthew 18, verses 34 and 35 again. There's a warning at the end of this parable. I didn't notice it until I studied it out this time. Kind of just read through it. But there's a strong warning that Jesus gives in this that we probably need to look at. Look at verse 34 of Matthew 18. It says, And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Verse 35, so likewise, in the same way, shall my heavenly Father, look at this, do also unto you, if from your hearts you forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So for those of you sitting out there tonight, and you just say, I refuse to forgive. I refuse. That verse should bother you a little bit. Just a little bit. Because God says, you know what? If you do that, if that's the way you're going to be, if you're my child and you do that, and especially to the brethren, you do that, you know, I'm going to hold it against you in this life. I'm not talking about going to hell and losing your salvation. I'm talking about he'll come down on you in this life. I mean, good night. When you mess up tomorrow, when I mess up tomorrow, and we will mess up. We will sin tomorrow against someone. We will hurt someone. Do you really want God to come down on you and drop the hammer on you? Is that what you want? No, that's not what we want. We want God to have compassion on us, to show us mercy. That's what we want. But see, God says, you know what, how you treat people, I'm going to treat you that same way. So are you unforgiving tonight? God says, I'll treat you that way. But you say, Brother Matt, you don't know. You just don't know how bad they are. You don't know what they did to me. You just don't know how bad it is. Let it go. Just let it go. I mean, do you realize if we had a conversation with Jesus, if we're going to argue with Jesus about something, you realize that Jesus could stand there and before we could say anything, he could say, you're wrong. You know, you're not supposed to answer a man before you hear it. With Jesus, Jesus can do that. And he doesn't do this though. I'm just saying, if you were going to sit there, and I could equate it to maybe arguing with the Word of God, but if you sat there and you went to say something, but Jesus said, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. And he says, I'm right. I'm always right. And I'll be right here waiting for you when you come right back, when you realize that I'm right at the right time, in the right place, I'll be waiting for you to come back to realize that I'm right. But see, he doesn't do that to us. When you read the Bible, you see Jesus always allowing us, allowing people that he interacts with to figure it out that they're wrong, that he's right. He doesn't come. He doesn't treat them that way. He doesn't come. And we're supposed to love as brethren. And you're going to, just because you're right on an issue, you're going to come down on somebody in here? Because you're right one time? You might be right one time. Even if you're right, let it go. Just forgive. Take the wrong, right? Just let them, don't do it. Turn back to Luke chapter 6. Or turn to Luke chapter 6, I'm sorry. Turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 37, we'll finish up. I read this verse earlier, but it's a really good verse. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Verse 37 of Luke chapter 6 says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I picture this as a box. If you can put your forgiveness in a box. See, this is what we would do. If you're going to forgive someone, you're going to take the box. You're going to put your forgiveness in it. You're going to fluff it up. Kind of like some of us do with our tithing, right? You put it in there. You fluff it up or your offering. You make it look like, look, God, look what I'm giving to you. And you make it look like more than it is. But God doesn't do that with us in this verse. God says, what you give, I'll take that. And look what he says. He says, I'm going to take your good measure. I'm going to press it down. You ever go somewhere and have good Chinese food where they get it, and they put it in, and they pack it down. You know, they give you more. They pack it down. And it's like, man, how can that all fit in there? But you leave with a lot of Chinese food. Same thing here is that God's trying to tell us that if you'll forgive the way that I'm telling you to forgive, I'll take that forgiveness that's going to come back to you. And then I'm going to press it down. He's going to shake it. He'll add more, and he'll press it down, and he'll shake it until it runs over. Isn't that what we want? When you got to get forgiven, is that what you want? That's what I want. I want God to have much forgiveness as I walk through this Christian life because I'm going to mess up. I already know it. I already know I'm going to mess up. And I know I'm going to hurt somebody in here. It's going to happen. I might hurt my pastor one day. It could happen. Don't think, oh, I'll never do that. Right? Take heed lest you also fall. Don't think it won't be you. But when it happens, you're going to want that forgiveness. You're going to want that forgiveness. You know, reaping and sowing. Pastor talked about that a lot. Reaping and sowing. Because before I got saved, I reaped a lot of stuff that now, I'm like 48, and now it's showing itself. And you young people, you don't think it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you. If you sow to the flesh, eventually you will see it. Mark my words, you will see it. Because why? God's word tells us. You will see it. You will see it. But also, on the other hand, you that are walking in the Spirit, you're coming here, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, You're keeping yourself pure, young ones. Keep yourself pure. You know, you're going to reap those benefits because that's what it says, right? It says what you sow, you will, what you reap, you will sow. So, in guards with forgiveness tonight, forgive much so that you will be forgiven much. Psalm 25:18 says, look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, last verse. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. It's a great verse. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. See, that's how God forgives. When God forgave you, when he forgave me, when God forgave you, forgave you all. All. And you know, people struggle with that when you go out and talk to them, and they want to try and think they got to help God out. Like, we'll get the ones that, yeah, we believe in Jesus, but you can't just live however you want. Got to kind of help him out. And then you say, well, wait a minute. Didn't he forgive you all? Doesn't all mean all? Didn't when he die, you weren't even around? He paid for all your sins. All of them. And then, well, does that mean you can live however you want? Well, theoretically, yeah, but should you? Should we do that? And we can go to Romans 6. But Paul says we should. God forbid that we should live like that. We explain that to them. But God did forgive all. He forgave all. Because where sin abound, grace did much more abound, right? And that's the beautiful thing. And no other God, no other religion has that. I get tired of them always trying to lump Christianity with these other religions. There's no God like our God. There's no God like our God. God forgave all. He will remember your sin and my sin no more, as far as the east is from the west. So as you leave here tonight, brothers and sisters, learn to forgive like that. You read the Bible, see how God forgives. Learn to forgive like that. Forgive as you'd want to be forgiven, and let God bless you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I don't know if I did your word justice tonight or not, Lord, and I pray that your words, maybe not my words, but the words that I quoted from your book and your Bible, Lord, that they will lay on someone's heart that you are the great forgiver. You're the great lover of our soul, and you forgave us much, and your compassion, and we should go around forgiving like we've been forgiven. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for our pastor and our pastor's wife. I thank you for this church. I thank you for all the brothers and sisters here. And I just pray you be with the rest of the evening. And Lord, you continue to bless this church and bless us tonight. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things. Amen.